Welcome in to the Burgundy Blues Podcast, a show dedicated to our fantasy football league as we continue our journey to obtain the coveted Burgundy Jacket. Week one is in the books. I'm Mackenzie Smith, joined tonight by four league mates. Jordan Clark's here, Austin Diggins, Hayden Smith, Gary Harry himself. What's going on tonight, boys?
Not too much. Coming off a pretty average week for me.
I just noticed your background there. What is that?
It's my
mission.
Yeah, the fantasy football control room.
The Mad Dog Tim's control room. Gary Harry's in the dark. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Yeah, we crawled out of a YouTube black hole to be here. So
that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Diggins, are you in bed? Is Sasha next to you? Is she a guest on the podcast as well?
No, she wants nothing to do with this.
Where is she right now?
She is in the living room. So going solo, but feeling pretty good. So I'm excited to talk about things.
Yeah. Anybody drinking anything special tonight?
A lot of water.
Yeah, water as well.
Wow. It looks like water's all the way around.
This is what a 30-year-old league looks like.
That's so exciting. Okay, well, what do you say we jump right into things and kind of recap week one a little bit? Any thoughts on the week? I haven't really looked specifically at the standings. I think we got two winners and two losers sitting here. This median thing is really killing me.
I got back to the headquarters at Scary Harry, you know, front offices out in Maui, or that's one of the offices, of course. And that bitch, there was nobody working. We're here in shambles. The draft room empty. The motherfuckers were gone. They did not want to hear from me. The paperwork they gave me for draft, pile of shit.
Yeah, so
you had no help.
Yeah, we're a one man operation again.
On the standings, we actually have Diggins himself number one right now. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, your team's looking pretty good.
I gotta take a picture because it could go downhill quick.
And then we have the McKenzie's most hated team in second, Luke Morrison, right now. So
hey,
Luke's probably going to be,
you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, Luke's probably really looking forward to listening to this podcast where we have to talk about how good his team did this week.
Probably so. He did really well, and mine did really bad. So, yeah. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Where do you guys want to start?
So, just going over last week. Yeah, I'm good. We'll start wherever.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with matchup of the week from one.
Okay.
Why not? The most hated team, the most mediocre teams of the league, you know, got the matchup of the week, and that was where even is it? It's so insignificant, I can't find it. It is Luke versus Jordan. Luke had 149 to Jay Clark's 127. So it's Jay Bell, sorry, there's two of you. And yeah, oh my god, Pat Mahomes had 44 points.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's see, what's the best way to do this? Just I'm gonna do a quick rundown real quick. What, as I listen to previous year's podcasts, sometimes I like to do before a draft. It really sucks not knowing who's on everybody's team. So when I do this, I want to do like a quick, just here's everybody, here's what they got, and then let's talk about the matchup. So Luke has Pat Mahomes with 44 points, Joe Mixon 18 points, Javonte Williams 14 points, Justin Jefferson 34. Amaron St. Brown 16, Kyle Pitts 2, Juju Smith-Schuster 8.9, Robert Woods 1.8, and the Broncos defense 7.10. Jake Bell, I almost did it again, has Kyler Murray with 24, Najee Harris with 9, James Conner 14, Keenan Allen 8, Michael Thomas 20, Travis Kelce 22, Elijah Mitchell 4, Antonio Gibson 16, and the Tennessee defense with 7. So this one was blown away by Pat Mahomes and Justin Jefferson. Yeah, what are the thoughts that you guys have on this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, but that's basically it, those two guys. Yeah, Joe Mixon and Javonte Williams too for Luke do really well, and St. Brown as well. So his team all together up until you get to the tight end flex positions, just crazy points. I mean, almost 15 and up on all of those guys. But yeah, definitely Pat Mahomes and Jefferson with 40 piece basically. Mahomes can be high or low. I mean, he's usually going to be pretty high, but Jefferson will probably be like that 25 to 35 range almost every week. Like, he's just going to be insane this year.
Yep. Joe Mixon, yeah, or the Bengals played like shit and turned the ball over and left a lot of points and opportunity on the field. And that motherfucker still carried the ball 27 times and caught 7 to 9 passes.
That's a lot of carries.
He had 18 points without getting in the end zone. So yeah,
that's crazy too.
That's elite. That's got to be top of the week. Top tier.
Definitely, you know, top production in terms of carries. But yeah, it looks good there. And then Pat Mahomes, the Cardinals defense, just the Cardinals in general, just seem to be in shambles. I'm really not sure what was going on there in that game. The Chiefs do not have a very good defense. Their secondary is essentially like all rookies, for the most part. They've got a lot of new guys, and so this is a bit inexcusable. I mean, they just, but the apparently Cardinals defense is way worse. So
yeah,
or at least in week one.
And I think on Jay Bell's side too, you go up against second highest scoring team, I think, was Luke, or maybe I don't remember between him and Antoine.
He's second highest.
So you can't be too disappointed. He does get the median win at least, so he's 1-1 now. His team still did did well. They did better than over half the league. So Michael Thomas, you know, looks kind of like he's back to form, going to be healthy this year. Travis Kelce's doing what Travis Kelce does. Antonio Gibson, who was like playing receiver at some spots with 16.5 points. I mean, preseason, all that kind of talk, people thought Gibson would just not exist this year.
You know, I kind of wonder too, with J-Bell had three guys get hurt. And what did he lose by? 22? So I know Mitchell got hurt pretty early. Keenan Allen definitely got hurt early. I don't know about Najee, but just I imagine it would have really came down to the wire if he would have been healthy the whole time through that whole matchup.
Yeah. It definitely looked that way.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jay Bell has Jay Bell has DK Metcalf on his bench, and could be a solid plug in for Keenan Allen or something. I'm not sure who got on waivers, but if you got anybody. Geno Smith looked pretty solid in that game. But Traylon Burks 3 for 5 and 55. I didn't really watch a ton of that game, so I missed a lot of these games. I really didn't get to see any of the noon games at all, so I don't have a ton of context for some of this stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Any other comments on the mediocre teams here?
It was a good matchup.
I'll admit, I wasn't sure about either one of those teams, but. What the fuck do I know?
Yeah. I think we need.
You haven't learned anything from listening to this.
I don't know what your plan is for that new drop from Diggins, but we might need to drop it on Luke right now, just as a reward for having such a good week.
Oh, he's yeah, okay. There you go. That's what you get. You get one, and maybe you'll get.
You don't even have to be conscious to draft a team.
No, not at all. All you gotta do is take the next best player and your team looks like this and you can win, apparently. Who would have thought? But no, his team is good for sure, especially this week in these matchups. We will see if that continues. So next one up in my book is the Dirty Nikes, Jay Clark versus Colton's team. And so what we've got here is a total score of 104.82 to 91.14. Jay Clark coming away with the win. with Lamar Jackson on his team with 26, Derrick Henry for 8, Saquon for 30 points. Welcome back to the NFL, I guess. T. Higgins, 3, Darnell Mooney, 1. I'm still not sure how to say this guy's name.
Just say Albert. Albert O.
Albert O, 5 points, 5.8. Leonard Fournette, 14.7. Rashad Penny, 7. And the Colts defense for 6.8. Colton had Justin Fields for 17. Austin Eckler, 9. Nick Chubb, 14.8. Brandon Ayuk, 5. Gabe Davis, 16. Mark Andrews, 7. Travis Etienne, 7. Deontay Johnson, 9. And Cincinnati, 2. Notice Scary Harry, sometimes I choose not to say the decimals.
They will wear you the fuck out. And I think hit that he's a dog button real quick.
Oh, dog. I'll give you another one.
Dog. Okay. Leonard Fournette, he's a dog. That dude was running hard.
Yeah, he was.
127 rushing yards. That's insane.
And yeah, he's about kind of like, touchdowns.
He didn't want to get in the way either. He was running with authority out there.
Oh. He has a pretty similar stat line to Joe Mixon, too, with the 21 carries and no touchdown there. So if he'd gotten a touchdown, I mean, it jumps him up to 20 points.
So. Yeah, I know that you were really high on him and wanted him this year, hoping that he would continue the way things ended last year. But the biggest thing here is Saquon. There is almost not enough room on this stat line for all the things that he did in that game.
Very, very, very happy. Hopefully he can keep it up all year. They played Tennessee. I don't really know Tennessee's defensive, you know. I don't know what his future matchups will look like, if he'll be able to produce. Obviously he's not gonna be 30 points every week, but very happy I got him, especially in the third round. So, you know, if Leonard Fournette continues to do what he does, and then if Derrick Henry can kind of get back to what he was doing last year before his injury last year. I mean, that's 3 15-point at least running backs putting the lineup every week.
I don't think I'm too off by saying that Saquon's probably the best value pick in the draft so far after week one, as far as production for where he got picked in our draft.
Yeah, after week one.
Yeah, definitely. That is,
very accurate.
One thing I mentioned after our draft on the podcast that I didn't like my receiving group, and they did nothing during this game at all. T. Higgins, I'm not concerned about because he did leave early with the concussion, so I think once he comes back, he'll be fine. Darnell Mooney, I was like, I didn't like him to begin with, and he had 0 points until like the fourth quarter or something. He had one target that he didn't catch, nothing else. And I was tilting. I was like talking with some other guys. I was like, I need some receiver help. And they're like, well, do you really need receiver help, or are you like overreacting to week one? So I went through my receivers and they're like, man, I wouldn't worry about those guys because, you know, Higgins just had the concussion. He'll be fine. And then Mooney, which I didn't see. I was watching on NFL Red Zone, so I didn't see a lot of the Bears game. But did y'all see the rain there? Like, it was a freaking monsoon.
It was insane. So he's
like, yeah. No one's going to be catching and throwing in that. And I think Hayden, you had Cole Kmet on your team, or somebody did.
Yeah,
and this is why I'm not.
I had part in the Chicago fiasco.
Yeah, so
why I'm really not freaking out about Trey Lance.
Right. Yeah, it was just such a. I mean, the grass was. I've never seen a field that wet. Like, I don't have any idea how. I don't know. It was like a freaking pool. But so hopefully those two guys will. Not.
I have an important question regarding this matchup, though. Does Colton know someone in the Chicago front office? Like Justin Fields, does he trust that guy? Is that his dog? Like, well,
I don't know.
Yeah, that one Colton, was slightly questionable.
I think he took him in like the last round, so he didn't. Colton just didn't take a quarterback at all until the very end. I don't know who all was there at that point.
I think that Justin Fields has a lot of potential. I really do. I don't mind him being in a starting role. I kind of see him with just as big of a risk as playing Trey Lance. I don't know. I think Justin Fields has a lot of potential, but he plays for the Browns. So, you know, there's play calling stuff. There's weapons not really around him. I don't know much about their offensive line, but there's a lot of factors as to why things may not work out for Justin Fields. But I mean, 17 points for your quarterback is not, I mean, I think I got like 9 from Trey Lance. So 17 isn't elite, but if you're going to stream a quarterback, that's probably around at least what you're hoping for as a floor. So I think that that's not a horrible, and with the rain as well. So I think Justin Fields is fine. And that's kind of how I would also feel about Darnell Mooney going forward.
Yeah. I am happy with Jahan Dotson. Picked him up in the draft. He's on the bench, but because he's a rookie, hoping he can do that every week. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz. How do you feel about that, Diggins?
I think I was listening to a few people talk about it on podcast, and they had said that they literally went through every emotion possible watching Carson Wentz. They went, you know, 2 touchdowns, all-time high, back-to-back interceptions on consecutive drives, and then 2 more touchdowns. It's like, that's exactly what I saw in Philly, and then ultimately it was a lot worse than it was good. But the guy just sends you on a roller coaster. 4 touchdown passes, though. I mean, that's pretty good. And with the receiving options he's got in Washington, I think he could have a pretty good season. I hate to say it, maybe. But
yeah. Did you guys see the Baker Mayfield pass to Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Robbie Anderson on Colton's bench. You know, he's got 5 for 8, but 102 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that one touchdown was like 80 yards. Maybe not 80, but it was massive. It was like the whole stretch of the field. So you can't depend on that every week, but that definitely would have been helpful to him. I don't blame him for not starting him, though.
Well, the thing is, like, he'll start him next week, and he'll have 3
he won't do anything.
3 catches for 19 yards or something. So it's you really got to kind of pick and choose your times to play him. And unfortunately, I think he may have missed out on that.
Travis Etienne on Colton's team as well. A lot of, you know, preseason hype about really being the dude. But it was James Robinson, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had 4 carries and then 4 targets, 2 receptions on 4 targets. So he's not getting a lot of looks. I mean, if he had more targets or more carries and just the defense stopped him, that'd be one thing. But he's not even getting the offensive play time, it looks like.
That was kind of weird, too, given that, you know, Robinson's coming off of that Achilles injury. I thought Etienne would get much more of the load and they would really kind of ease Robinson in, but it seemed like much more of a split than I was expecting.
I wanted to draft Etienne, so just further proving my point of how much I know.
Well, I mean, like well, you said, everybody was kind of high on Etienne this year coming into the season.
But Austin Eckler, pretty disappointing weekend as well. But that, you know, the Derrick Henry side being those 2 first picks, it didn't hurt Colton that Austin Eckler had such a bad week. It was just unfortunate that Saquon had an incredible week. That's what won you the game for sure.
Oh yeah,
Saquon there. So we'll
dog
on this.
Who is that?
Let's just make you do that. You're here. Why do I have to play the thing? Why don't I just make you do it live?
I mean, some liquor and smoke 3 cigarettes before that happens.
The cigarettes are very important. All right, let's move on to the Diggins matchup here. So Diggins versus Forrest, just absolutely blown out of the water. I don't think you had a single player. Well, yeah, you had 2 that did not have double digit points. So 160.86 to Forrest's 114.12. You had Justin Herbert with 29 points, DeAndre Swift for 25, AJ Dillon for 17, Devonte Adams for 25, AJ Brown 20, Darren Waller 9, Michael Pittman 22, Tyler Lockett 4, and the Browns defense for 6. Jalen Hurts on Forrest's side for 24, not bad. Dalvin Cook 12, Miles Sanders 17, Stephon Diggs 22, DJ Moore, 6. Dallas Goedert, 7.5. Mike Williams, 2. Jerry Jeudy, 18. And the Philadelphia defense for 3. So this is the Philadelphia Eagles versus Diggins team. And it did not work out for Forrest.
Judge Jeudy.
I don't know that anything could have worked out, honestly.
Yeah.
160 points is a lot to compete with.
I mean, every player you're hoping hits on Oxland's team hit this week. And the most surprising one to me is A.J. Dillon, because even though...
That's what I was about to
even
say.
Even though they, like, leading up to the season said we're going to do more of a committee or split more equally between Jones and Dillon, I was still thinking in the back of my head, you know, this is still Jones's backfield. Like, he's going to be the guy. But, I mean, they truly had running back 1A and running back 1B. Like, I don't even know what Jones's points total was this week. We'll see it at some point, but yeah.
It was bad.
17.6 points for Dillon. Crazy. It's awesome.
It was weird. I was watching the game and, you know, Dillon, I just kept looking back in the backfield and you see this giant dude back there. I'm like, well, that's not Jones. And it's not like he was doing a lot with his carries, but he just kept getting volume. And the fact that I think Jones only had 5 rushes of all things, which was insane. I was the most, I guess, surprised aspect of it was that Dillon was so involved in the passing game too. Had a decent amount of catches, and you know, Aaron Rodgers was dumping it out into the flat. So I kind of expected Jones to be more heavily involved in the passing game, but it seemed pretty split. So pretty shocking. I don't know if that'll continue next week, but yeah. Hey, good start.
Yeah, so Jones was 3 of 5 on interceptions, and then Dillon 5 for 6. So he definitely had a couple more targets there.
What? Why is his nickname the Mayor?
I was listening to Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, and I guess that's what they call him. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna hype you up. I'm gonna give you your official nickname here, and hopefully it translates to some goodwill. And hey,
I guess it did. Well, you've also got a nickname here for
that boy's Michael Pittman. A motherfucking dog.
That's right. I love him. He's hopefully he's healthy this week, but he's outstanding. I was very impressed with him and really all the receivers other than Tyler Lockett.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's interesting because, you know, you talk about a draft, you know, I drafted first and you drafted last, and I scored 87 points and you scored 160. So it's, you know, theoretically they should be kind of the same caliber of players, but there's a lot more better talent there towards the end of the draft, it seems.
And quickly,
either that or I have no idea how to draft.
On AJ Brown, his stat line pretty crazy too, because he was 10 of 13 for 155 yards, no touchdown. So
that is nuts. His,
all 20 points, and not including a touchdown. So if he does something like that again with the touchdown thrown in, you're looking at a Justin Jefferson type game.
It is exactly a 35 point game.
Yeah, and they targeted him several times in the end zone. So I was that he was insane. I couldn't believe how often they were going to him, and he just looked like a beast. So, yeah, my receivers, I was very, very pleased with. And then Davante Adams looked like Davante Adams, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift also just looked awesome, just running hard. Why is he questionable? What's going on with him?
I guess he rolled his ankle during the game.
Oh. Okay, that's could be worse.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Congrats, honestly.
Thanks. I'm afraid that they might have used up all their points in the first week, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Still
actually,
have
I'm not even
one.
Mad. That's amazing.
Yeah. Congratulations. Forrest team. Stephon Diggs had an awesome week. Jerry Jeudy, you know, like Hayden mentioned, it got a touchdown, 102 yards. I think most everyone, including myself, was looking more at Courtland Sutton in that game. But Jerry Jeudy definitely came out on top with that production.
I rode with Jerry Jeudy a long time last year with no touchdowns. So yeah. It's happy to see him succeed. Riding to the sunset.
He looked.
Yeah, Mike Williams was a surprise.
Yeah, Mike Williams was. That was shocking, yeah. Actually. Especially when Keenan Allen went out, I was expecting him to get, you know, kind of peppered with targets, and Herbert was spreading the ball around to everybody.
Yeah, only four targets is unheard of for him. I mean, you imagine that he has a massive bounce back game this week with the mediocre Chiefs defense, you know, on Thursday night. I think he'll probably be fine, but I'm pretty high on Mike Williams, and this is pretty disappointing. Miles Sanders, pretty good game for what I would assume Miles Sanders would typically get with 17.5, got a touchdown, 96 yards, 2 receptions.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. In the fact that, I mean, he probably could have had more, but with the way that they were rotating the backs in the red zone, 3 other running backs had touchdowns, or 2 other running backs, and you're including Jalen Hurts, 3 then. But so, I mean, he could have had more, but I just don't – the Philly running back by committee system is pretty interesting. I think he's going to get the bulk of the carries, but once he gets inside the 20 – I think you never know.
Yeah. So, you know, is James Robinson in your lineup next week?
No. No, he'll be hanging out for at least another week. I think I'm rolling with Kareem Hunt this week against the Jets. We'll see how that goes. But he was another guy that I was pretty surprised by. For not really going heavy running back, kind of just going with, I don't know, a bunch of RB2s essentially. Not even RB2s in rankings, RB2s on their own team. they turned out to be pretty good.
It really did. I mean, you have, what, 2, maybe 3 in that situation. And, I mean, you have 40 points sitting on your bench and don't really care, so that's
you're just trying to you'll keep trying to trade me James Robinson for Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I think at this point James Robinson's just gonna sit tight. He wants him, and I've tried to offload him to almost every team in this league. Maybe a little too ambitious.
You want a little CD sprinkled in there with your...
I hear CD is a hot topic today, actually.
Yep, he's been trying to be worked around, but I think I talked to Luke for about 10 hours today about CD Lamb.
And I think Luke maybe talked to everybody else for about 10 hours on what he should do.
Well, we got some inside source, insider information here.
Yeah, Adam Schefter.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a moment where me and Luke were trying to work out a trade, and I said, okay, let's do it, and then he didn't text me back for like 4 hours, and so I assume that's what was going on. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on to
Welcome back to the shit show!
That would be my matchup versus... who'd I even play? Logan. it's okay. So I had 87. Logan had 102, which honestly, not too great on Logan's side either. Luckily, mine was horrible. Trey Lance on my side with 9 points. Jonathan Taylor, 25.5. Damian Pierce, 4. CD Lamb, 3. Debo Samuel, 11. TJ Hockenson, 5. Allen Robinson, 1. Marquise Brown, 12. And the Tampa Bay defense with 11. My MVP. Logan had Russell Wilson, 19. Christian McCaffrey, 13. Aaron Jones, 9. Cortland Sutton, 9. Tyreek Hill, 14. Dalton Schultz, 9. David Montgomery, 6. Brandon Cooks, 11. And the Baltimore defense for 8. And so, you know, if you take a look at my bench, you know, I had Cordarrelle Patterson for 21 points, Clyde Edwards-Helaire for 20 points. Those are really the only two really in consideration. Tyler Boyd with 11, Isaiah Pacheco, and some garbage time for 12 points. But Yeah, I mean, what lost me the week was starting Damian Pierce. Tried to swing for the fences, and the hype did not meet expectations.
Wow, yeah. I didn't realize that was literally the difference.
Mm-hmm. Week one, you know, I was like, you know what, we're gonna, you know, I'd like what I saw, liked all the hype around it, and I was like, if this is it and this hits, then it's gonna look great, and if it doesn't, it's gonna be bad. Taking a loss in week one isn't the worst thing ever, but honestly, my team needs some assistance in some other areas than just that.
Your receiver core let you down this week.
That's very true, considering that I went very wide receiver heavy in the draft. So, I mean, Allen Robinson, two receptions, man, or two targets.
Yeah.
One catch for 12 yards.
Yeah, not sure what's up with that. I mean, you got to think it was just kind of a weird game because Buffalo was just kind of killing them all over the place anyway. And they paid him so much money, they're going to be using him more. So I wouldn't have super strong reaction to this. It's week one. You know, the Rams are still a good team. They'll have better games than they did Thursday night. So, but that is definitely disappointing to have that from a person you draft so high.
Especially off the back of last year too.
Oh, sure, because it's just a nightmare. I'm not hitting the panic button yet on Robinson, or on a lot of these players other than CD. But Allen Robinson had two targets. One of those targets was in the end zone. And if you kind of look at some of the game, and he was open like most every play as Matt Stafford is getting destroyed. So I think it was just the Bills defense, I think, is just incredible. I think it's just a tough game for Stafford in general. And my hope is that, you know, maybe I get 5 or 6 receptions out of Allen Robinson next week. I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy with 5 receptions. But that's a bummer. And then CeeDee Lamb, we all know that story. But 11 receptions from Dak. A broken Dak? I don't know. I don't really remember much about Cooper Rush, so I don't really know how that's going to go.
Apparently everyone hates him in Dallas, so I don't know. I think the vibe around here is that the Cowboys season's over. So it should be pretty interesting.
I mean, even when Dak was healthy playing, they didn't look that great. And it's funny because I think on Sunday the Cowboys literally cut Cooper Rush and signed him to their practice squad, so that they were going to go with like just a one quarterback on the 53-man roster, so they could do something else with cap space or something. But obviously that's not going to work out now. But so that's how much faith they have in him. You know, they weren't even going to keep him on the active roster for the season.
Well, yeah, it's not good.
It's not, and even superfan Skip Bayless looks like he jumped ship.
There might be a panic button situation there.
Yeah, I've definitely hit it on CD. Please come and get him.
I traded for Ezekiel Elliott, so.
Yeah, that also sucks. At least Zeke, I don't know. That sucks because they're probably going to be playing from behind, which means they're going to have to pass, but nobody can catch the ball. And they're stuck, man. They're just going to be just stonewalled, not able to do much. And if they are able to do something, it's not going to be good for fantasy.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of volatility there with CD. He may be all over the place. One game really good, the next same result is against Tampa. So it definitely sucks for a guy you drafted, you know, in the, what, second round or third?
Second round. He's my second pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think with a guy like CD, if we were to like compare him to, I don't know, Amon Ross, St. Brown, I just don't know if I would make that trade. You know?
Yeah, if I...
I think I would, personally.
If I was the one getting Amon Ross, St. Brown, definitely make the trade, and I think whoever was trading him is kind of being a dumbass, honestly. But just hypothetically speaking here.
Yeah. So CD, I'm not too stoked about, but what is the gauge that you guys have on Trey Lance?
I have zero gauge.
Yeah, I don't really have. I mean, I feel like he's hyped up. He didn't play much last year. This game, like we talked about earlier, you kind of just got to throw out with the weather. So we'll see.
Yeah, same. I have zero Russell gauge. I think
the reason I thought we were talking about Lance. My bad.
No, we are. Oh. We are. Sorry, that
was the joke.
That one missed the mark. My bad.
No, you're good.
I got it. I'm there.
But
I'm there.
It's just hard seeing that it was a soon in Chicago. It's you can't really base it off of that. Granted, I think there's a lot of rumblings that, you know, them keeping Jimmy G around kind of throws a wrench in all the Lance buzz. And if he continues to suck for the next few games and they lose, then they may be making a switch, because I'd imagine that management isn't going to be too fond of that when they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yep. So I don't know, man. I know I have a risky team, and that's kind of what I was hoping to play with this year, in hopes that it would become something, but it may not, and we'll see. But really painful right now. Logan's team, what do you guys like on his side of the ball?
His side was, if he's got good players, I think they all underperformed, except for, Brandon Cooks. That's 12 points. But with Houston, so you can't ask for much more. Christian Kirk on his bench was pretty surprising with Jacksonville, so hopefully he can continue to produce each week. And I think he'll be okay. McCaffrey will come back. You know, Wilson will have better games than this. Jones will have better games than this. So he still has the pieces there. Tyreek Hill had a good game, and he'll probably have good or better games than this too. So I think he just got struck with all the kind of weird week one underperformances.
How did McCaffrey look? I didn't really see much of that game.
From what I saw, I mean, he was running pretty hard. Kind of looked like Christian McCaffrey. He just, I don't know. That was,
I think,
kind of
they
weird
could
game.
Stay on the field.
Yeah.
For the first part of the game, I think they struggled to stay on the field. Three and out.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he only had 10 carries for 33 yards, so not very many yards at all. Not very many carries. So, yeah, probably just not staying on the field long enough to get the targets there.
And that touchdown saved him.
And as we had mentioned, you know, with A.J. Dillon, I'm still pretty shocked looking at Aaron Jones' stat line here. I mean, he was averaging 10 yards a carry. And
That's what Logan probably worries about most here.
I think he should be fine, but it is kind of surprising. I didn't, especially with as good as Jones has been in the past. And then I think they just signed him to a new contract too.
Dylan's better and doing, then he's better. That's how it'll go.
I think that there's going to be a lot of just inconsistency with who has the points at running back in a given week at Green Bay.
Yeah, and maybe it's to do too with kind of game script, trying to control the ball a little bit more to keep Minnesota's offense off the field. I don't know.
Or it could all be fucking random, because Aaron Jones ran 65 yards and was gassed, and then A.J. Dillon comes out and punches it in the end zone for him.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for the Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift connection there, where Jamal Williams is getting brought in at the one to score two touchdowns.
There was a lot of brutal snaps that happened to Derrick Henry too.
Oh yeah, that was weird too. I'm sure Jordan loved that one.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on with that. But
I know how many different Eagles running backs scored? Three.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's crazy. Well, we got one more here. The scary hairy matchup. Thank you for not allowing me to be the lowest scorer of the league, with your 83 points to Antoine's 122. So I guess I'll give you a sound too.
Yep. I don't have a rebuttal.
So, Yeah. Well, yeah, Joe Burrow for 22, Cam Akers with a goose egg, Zeke Elliott for 5, Ja'Marr Chase 23, Jalen Waddle 15, Cole Kmet with another goose egg, Josh Jacobs 7, Adam Thielen 5, the Saints D for 3. And then we got Josh Allen on Antoine's team for 37, Alvin Kamara 6, Devin Singletary 7, Cooper Kupp 25, Mike Evans 15, Pat Freiermuth 10, Terry McLaurin 12, Amari Cooper 3, and San Francisco D 5 points. So how's that? 2 0-point scores on your team.
Yeah, Thursday night. Oh, so hyped up for fucking fantasy football. Sitting there with Mr. fucking Wells, got fucking burgers in my belly, a cold beer, like it's fucking football time, and it's just the worst possible start I could possibly have for a Thursday night game. A top 4 draft pick for me on a 3 carry night, just a ghost on the field. And then he has, you know, Josh Allen out there going off. Cooper Kupp goes off. So he has an amazing start. It's like you're sunk from the beginning. So if you don't love fantasy football, then it just slaps you right in the face with this big old cock.
Hey, that's good on you, though, because I would have went silent after that. I would have been so pissed off.
No, it's a bad beat, and even the players that did good on my team, like, were shit because Joe Burrow turned the ball over 5 times, so that's minus 10, just right there.
The fact that he still had 22 points, I mean, that's got to give you some hope, though. The guy can throw, he can throw 4 interceptions and fumble the ball and still get you 22. That's pretty good.
That's one thing I'm not worried about is the Burrow chase thing, but other than that, the team's in shambles.
The team, the front office has been pretty active up there.
It's a one-man operation now. Just like I said, the place was abandoned. So it's week one. You never know.
That's true.
I have players that are at least on the field, so I won't panic just yet.
I seem to remember another time where we completely counted you out and you turned that one around. So it's never say die.
That's the truth.
And Antoine also had a good day. So, you know, it doesn't help anything.
Yeah. I mean, Antoine's team is solid for sure. Josh Allen and Cooper Kupp carrying the weight. You know, we've got about, 60 points scored between the two of those guys. So half of his points coming from 2 players. And then you just fill it in from there. Hopefully he gets more production out of Kamara. That's a little weird. The Taysom Hill steal for a rushing touchdown, which is weird. But I guess Taysom Hill does everything.
I did, baby.
Devin Singletary getting robbed. Because it's, what was it, Zach Moss season now? And
Sniper.
Buffalo. Zach Moss, Sniper. Terry McLaurin with 12 as well. So you get a touchdown, 58 yards. And who cares about Amari Cooper? But he didn't really need him. That was another trade that I got offered today. It was Amari Cooper and Tom Brady for CeeDee Lamb.
Mm.
Didn't like that.
No, I don't have any comments. If y'all want to, I had a really bad week. I don't feel great, but I'm just gonna hope. I picked up I had some waiver activity, so some good, some bad. We're picking up Corey Davis in week one, so that's, you know, big sigh there. But it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely
that is the truth.
It's definitely surprising with Akers.
I love it.
And I think McVay had said after the game that Akers just has to earn it, and I read today that McVay is pretty happy with how Akers responded this week in practices, so he might have a bounce back game. It doesn't seem like, I mean, he had that injury or something going on in preseason, but he was supposed to be healthy. He wasn't on the injury report at game time, so I don't think it was injury related. It just seems like McVay just didn't like what he saw Thursday, so he's like, well, never mind, let's just put the other guys in. But maybe he'll earn that spot back going into this week and the next few games, and you know, come back for you.
One can hope. All right. Well, let's turn our tides to week two. And so we get a matchup of the week here, which we have dubbed between me and Forrest, being the closest. At one point was 50-50, and then 112. And so I'm going to play a little thing here. If it's cool, we'll keep it. If it's not cool, we'll never do it again. So matchup of the week, here we go. All right, we've already kind of talked my team to death, it seems. Just kind of at a glance here, what are you guys thinking in terms of if this prediction is where it needs to be or not?
Let me go through real quick here, because I think the matchup is going to be close, like it says here. Of course, we thought that last week as well, so you never know. But I like your side on some areas, running back specifically. I think Forrest has you beat on the receiving side just because of the issues with Dak being out. I lost my screen, so someone else can start talking.
Yeah, it looks pretty, honestly, it does look pretty even. You're expecting Lance to have a better game. Of course, you're going up against Jalen Hurts, and it predicts to be a shootout against Minnesota. Running back wise, your top, both of your alphas are going to be good. And receivers, you know, Debo and Stephon Diggs are fairly comparable, and CeeDee Lamb and DJ Moore kind of probably are right now too. So I think it could be a pick 'em.
Oh, my pick for it here. I like Forrest, to be honest. I think a lot of points in that Philly Minnesota game. Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen going to do their thing. DJ Moore, who knows? I like that Thursday night game, too. I think there's going to be a bunch of points. So I don't know how that's going to go for Clyde, because they might be airing that thing out all game. Jonathan Taylor will be fine. But then you got some question marks on the other side. CD Lamb, Allen Robinson, and then, you know, the Atlanta could come out against the Rams and fucking lay a goose egg.
Yeah, I think the question marks on my team are the biggest issue. Can Trey Lance have a good game? Does Clyde catch the ball? Does CD actually get to catch the ball from Cooper Rush? And can Cordarrelle Patterson do somewhat what he did last week, this week again? If all those things go somewhat well, then I think I could have a good week. But yeah, that has been matchup of the week, I guess. So picks again. Diggins, who are you picking here?
I'm gonna have to say Forrest by the score of 132 to McKenzie 116.
Oh, ow. Yikes.
I'll have to go with Forrest here too. Score wise, I mean, you can never project the score. I'll just say Forrest will have 123 to McKenzie's 112. He's going to get right at projection. Or you're going to get right at projection.
I'll take Forrest by 12. That's scary, Harry. Vegas odds.
I'm thinking we might have a pillow fight here. I think I'm going to score about 105. Forrest might score about 102. Maybe not even that. We'll go a little lower. We'll say 100-95. So I think I can win. And I think I do like my team. It's just a little scary. I worry about Stephon Diggs, big player. I worry about Mike Williams and Jerry Jeudy having big games. But other than that, Dalvin Cook had a weird game last week and could probably come back as well. So definitely going to have to get some points on the board from my guys in order to do it. But we shall see. I could be 0-4. So far, not a fan of the media.
Yeah.
Hey,
not a fan at all.
But the week is still young. Who knows? CeeDee Lamb may not be on your team by the end of the week.
I have a feeling that he will. Come get him, please. Benny's on the dollar. Just not Amari Cooper. No, not less than a penny.
What about Juju?
No.
What about Daryl Henderson?
No.
I don't need
Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson and a little piece, maybe.
I'm not even going to ask about James Robinson. I feel like those are the same guys.
I do. Yeah, I think so. Honestly, I truly, even though I went wide receiver heavy, I really need more help in the wide receiver department. So I would definitely be looking to make I'll be willing to do a wide receiver running back for another wide receiver running back combo some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably have to be something like that that's going to help my team the best. Because if I just take take someone that is a lower value than CD, then it, you know, that may look good for a couple of weeks, but probably not for the rest of the year. So not going to be dumb, but I do want to get rid of him. So
percentage chance of CD getting traded then, speaking to the source himself.
75%. Ooh. What's that? Is that too high?
I'll give you Michael Gallup for CD.
Sure. Why the hell not? They're the same player essentially now. Lateral move. Yeah, I mean, making a trade, you don't want to make a lateral move. It definitely, you want the other person to not, get wrecked in the trade, but also to come out on top.
Everybody wants the best trade, the ones where you both win. Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so you kind of gotta, and no one in this league is an idiot, and so you need to be somewhat, you're not gonna swindle someone over by trying to do something stupid. You gotta try to make it worth their while, but.
If your team is able to kind of ride the ship, even with CD, you got to think, okay, if we can just kind of go 500 until Dak returns, then. He's a guy you're probably happy to have when it comes around playoff time. It's just keep above water.
That's why I just don't want Juju only, because I'm not that high on Juju, honestly, in the first place. And I already have Clyde on my team and Isaiah Pacheco, which I don't really plan to start. But I don't.
Chiefs just sling that thing around now. They did. right, and center,
scoring points,
just everywhere. It don't matter to who.
That, yeah. For right now, I don't want that. Because when it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out for me at all. So
I'd
not be in that situation.
How long we've been going for a minute? But since I was a big spender this week, I feel entitled to ask about Jeff Wilson.
We didn't really talk about it. We should start doing that in the beginning of the before we start doing this. Forgot about that.
I don't think am I
chasing?
I don't think you're chasing. I was reading online, like Reddit and other fantasy football forum places, it seemed he was going 20-40%. You spent right around 40%. Forrest was right there at $37, so it's not like you overspent by a ton. I mean, it would have sucked if you were like 44 and the next highest bid was 10. It seems to be he was the top waiver ad this week for sure. We got Elijah Mitchell out, and surprised Jay Bell didn't kind of go a little bit harder after him since he lost Mitchell. But first week waiver, you never really know what to expect. But yeah, I wouldn't be too upset with that.
Definitely, I think Jay Bell probably assumed that Wilson was going to be going pretty high. And he didn't. I can imagine he maybe didn't want to spend all of his fab. So he did, and then. But it is kind of interesting that he decided to handcuff Najee as opposed to handcuffing Mitchell, who is for sure going to be out for a considerable amount of time. So it is kind of interesting. I think it's a good pick, though, Hayden.
Yeah, I think. You like you said, your week one is still in a bit of a rebuild, it seems. And you're going to get a great running back that you know can get the job done, at least for a little bit. And if you want wins now, you got to pay for it.
That's right.
And this is not a $90 Naeem Hines situation. So I think what you did is a reasonable amount. Anyways, final thoughts on week one. Here we are. Fantasy football's back. We're back. What are you guys thinking as we wrap up week one, ending in and headed into week two?
Every year you kind of go in, kind of like what Hayden was saying, you're just super excited for football to start, and then football starts, and you ask yourself, why do I play this game every year? unless you're Austin or Antoine or Luke or Jay Bell even had a pretty good week. Yeah, I'm a little bit sad. I just feel what the median game did to me this week, it just makes me feel very average, just adequate. You know, kind of like how I am in the bedroom. It's just very average. Can't overperform. I got one win, lost the other. So I don't know. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah.
There's lower places to be, buddy.
Yeah. Come on down here.
To the 0-2 club.
Where performance doesn't exist.
I'll say this.
It did crack me up how Logan's ass got cracked by the median when he was one of the, you know, big supporters of it, and he was like the last one off of it. So he got bumped out. Shit got me.
I think there's probably one point in every week where I say that to myself, why the hell am I doing this? And then, of course, I'm getting pissed off, and Sasha's like, it's just a game, and I tell her she doesn't understand, and then she tells me to get out of the room, and yeah.
Then you're punching holes in the wall.
Punching holes in the wall, pissing in closets. But I hope this coming week's as prosperous as the first, but I the pessimist in me tells me that I'm going to go from top to bottom here.
Yeah. Well, that's what you've always said. So let's not have any positive thinking, but it feels bad. Jordan sitting at average, and me and Hayden are incredibly below average. So
gotta just get the house back in order, and I'm a sports watching son of a bitch, so fantasy football is just icing on the cake. So win or lose, I'm still gonna eat that goddamn cake.
And on that note, that is going to do it. Good place to end. It's going to do it for me, for Jay Clark, Austin, and Hayden, Scary Harry himself. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Peace.